Praise be Jesus and Mary. Well, we have two hot-button topics this morning in today's gospel. One, which is a hot-button topic pretty much for everybody in general, society today in general, and that is the indissolubility of marriage. And the second one, we could say, is a hot-button topic only in certain circles, and that regards the religious vocation. So first, we need to affirm the truth about the indissolubility of marriage. That's what our Lord is doing in today's gospel when he's talking about God made them male and female, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, there's one phrase in here that's debated sometimes, and our Lord says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery. Okay, that phrase is in parentheses, and it's a very fuzzy English translation, really. If I'm not mistaken, it says, unless, except for fornication. So I imagine they made this English translation to make it a little more clear, perhaps. But in any case, you know, there are no exceptions in the sense, if it is a valid marriage, that it can be dissolved. Okay, it is indissoluble. Of course, the church does permit divorce for certain reasons, but not divorce and remarriage. Okay, the person is not permitted to remarry. Neither person, and this is affirmed in the Council of Trent. So it's always good to go to the dogmas so we know for sure, with absolute certainty, what is the truth of the church's teaching. And so the Council of Trent says this: if anyone says that the church errs in that she taught and teaches that in accordance with evangelical and apostolic doctrine, the bond of matrimony cannot be dissolved by reason of adultery on the part of one of the parties. Okay, so marriage cannot be dissolved by reason of adultery, fornication, this says unless the marriage is unlawful. I believe that's referring to if it is invalid. Okay, that would be an exception, because then there's no marriage to begin with. So cannot be dissolved by reason of adultery on the part of one of the parties, and that both, or even the innocent party who gave no occasion for adultery, cannot contract another marriage. That's a heavy cross. Okay, one, for example, one of the marriage parties in the marriage party is abandoned. And that is a heavy cross to bear for the rest of your life. But you, as long as there's prayer, the sacraments, there will be God's accompanying grace, that's for sure. And that he is guilty of adultery who, having put away the adulteress, shall marry another. That's what our Lord says. They would be guilty of adultery if they marry again. And she also who, having put away the adulterer, shall marry another, let him be anathema. Okay? That's dogma. Now, the other topic we wanted to discuss in today's gospel is that of the religious vocation. So the disciples, upon hearing this hard teaching, and it is a hard teaching, say to themselves, if that is the case of a man and his wife, it is better not to marry. And our Lord agrees. He says, you're right, it is better not to marry. It's not obligatory not to marry, okay? But this is where the evangelical counsel of embracing perfect chastity for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, okay? It is counseled by our Lord. Marriage is good, remaining celibate for the sake of the kingdom is better. This is the church's teaching. Now, where the difficulty comes up is this a grace given by God, a vocation that one needs to be called in order to embrace perfect chastity? Or is it something that anyone can choose? And that's where the debate comes in. And that's where I think the mystery of free will and grace come into play. Of course, God's grace is necessary. The scripture affirms that no one can be chaste unless God gives it to him, unless there's God's grace. But if we ask for the grace, will we receive it? There are saints who say yes, simply ask and you will receive it. Now, there's a debate even about the translation. The English translation we have here says, not all can accept this word, but only to those to whom that is granted. Now, that would seem to say that God doesn't grant it to everyone. Not everyone can accept it. But if you go to the Latin, and then I read on the commentary, says even the Greek does not say not all can accept this word. Okay, the official Latin translation is this: non omnes capiunt verbum istud. Okay, it says not all receive this word. There's no can in there. It just says not all receive this word, but those to whom it is given. So not all receive this word, but to those to whom it is given. But the scripture says, everyone who asks receives. So is it if everyone were to ask, would they receive this grace? Now here's where the mystery comes in. Because the scripture also says that it is God who inspires us to will and to accomplish. So there would be also a grace to ask for the grace of perfect chastity, right? See, there is a real mystery. But we can certainly say this. We can certainly encourage this. Ask for the grace. If you're not married, ask for the grace of perfect chastity. Try it, embrace it, strive for it, because it is the better thing. For the sake of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Christus.